Our reading for Friday, April 24th, begins in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in his own native language? Parthians, and Medes, and Elamites, and the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, What does this mean? But others, mocking, said, They are filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that every one who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with many mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, Save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. We're going to stop right there for today's reading, and go back and make a few observations before we conclude today. So remember that in chapter 1, they had seen Jesus ascend, and they were to wait in Jerusalem. So when chapter 2 begins, it says that on the day of Pentecost, they were all together in one place, and that's when this happened. This sound like a mighty rushing wind comes, and these divided tongues as of fire appeared and rested on each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the fulfillment of the promise that we read while we were going through the book of John, that they would receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would give them utterance. It would give them remembrance. It would inspire them to establish the church according to the authority of Jesus Christ and to put things in order within those churches as Jesus commands. So here is where they begin being the ambassadors and apostles of Jesus the Christ. And so this particular event attracts attention. It says that there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, they come together and they're confused. I mean, this is an event they've never seen before, nor has it been seen again. This is a unique event. And so it makes sense that it would attract attention. And they ask this question, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? Well, being from Galilee, they would have some expectations of them, primarily what language that they would be speaking. So that is the purpose of the question in verse 8. It is based on, if these are Galileans, then how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? That had to be confusing as well to know that in Jerusalem, they're probably going to be speaking Greek or Hebrew, and yet these guys that are from other countries, as put here, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Mesopotamia, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Libya, Cyrene, Rome, they're from all over, and yet they're not just hearing a familiar language, they are hearing their home native language. And so they begin to ask the question, well, what does this mean? It's interesting that just like with Jesus, there would be those that would take heed to what they're hearing. It would capture their attention and they'd want to know more. And then there's always the mockers. Verse 13, others mocking said, they are filled with new wine. There's always some of those around. They're going to mock what they see simply because it's not something they've seen before. But this is a miraculous event. It is the fulfillment of Scripture, and it is the fulfillment of the personal promise that Jesus made to his disciples. And then Peter stands up in order to make an address. I usually refer to it as the first gospel sermon or Peter's first sermon. And it is a sermon, but it's also an answer to the questioning that's going on. But here's a thought for you. God could have accomplished the imparting of the Holy Spirit to these disciples in any way that he wanted to. It did not have to become a public event. He could have done it privately. But he chose to do it publicly, and it created the opportunity for Peter to make this address and speak to them about Jesus fulfilling the Scriptures and about this particular event fulfilling the Scriptures. And so he begins to tell about the prophecy that comes through the prophet Joel and points it all out, and you look at it and you see, well, yes, this is a fulfillment of what's going on here. Pouring out of the spirits, the prophesying, the visions, especially the sun turned to darkness, which happened when Jesus was crucified, and then the magnificent day, the day of the Lord, and then the pinnacle of all of these promises through Joel is verse 21, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What does it mean to call upon the name of the Lord? Well, you don't call upon somebody you don't believe in, so you have to believe. And as we looked at through the book of John, when we say believe in Jesus, we mean more than just that intellectual exercise. It means that I have faith, and that faith demands some particular actions. And for us to call upon the name of the Lord means to call upon his authority and his position. And so we would do things in the way that he prescribes. So calling upon the name of the Lord would have been a faithful obedience toward Jesus and toward God himself. So once he has established that what they are seeing is in accordance with Scripture, it's not being drunk and it's not some facsimile, it's not some deceit, then he goes in to establish the facts about Jesus. Hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with many mighty works. There would have been those there that witnessed some of those things, and there certainly would have been those there that heard about the things that Jesus did. So that word would have spread. So he starts with the fact that he was attested or witnessed by God the Father when he did those things. God was providing the proof about him being sent by God. And then verse 23, that when he was delivered up, this was according to that definite plan and the foreknowledge of God that you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. A very important point, because they needed to understand that Jesus was not crucified because the Jews won. He was crucified because that's what God intended to happen. But it did not stay that way. Verse 24, God raised him up, losing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Well, that's a claim, but he backs up the claim, and then he goes into David's prophecies. And when he gets done with David's prophecy, then he goes into verse 29, I say to you with confidence that the patriarch David, he died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. So he's dead and gone, so he couldn't have been talking about himself, could he? But he says, being therefore a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. So he's saying that David is talking about Jesus, and he foresaw and spoke about exactly what has recently happened. And so verse 32, this Jesus God raised up, and of that is the resurrection, the resurrected Jesus, we are all witnesses. Later on, Paul goes to enumerate all the various peoples and numbers that saw Jesus, and it was quite a large number. And so, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he's poured out on this, that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. So he has combined the two. Not only was what they were seeing happen with the apostles part of prophecy in the Scriptures, and then not only was Jesus prophesied about, and then these things that happened were part of that prophecy, part of the foreknowledge and the plan of God. Now he puts these two together, and he says, this Jesus God raised up, we are witnesses. He's been exalted at the right hand of God. We have received the promise of the Holy Spirit. And then verse 34, for David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. He's giving an explanation of the Scriptures at this time. So that's where he arrives at verse 36. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they hear this, they are cut to the heart. They know that they have opposed the plan of God, that they crucified one who did not deserve to be crucified. Whether it was part of the plan of God or not, they'd be guilty of saying, crucify him. And so when they heard this, they're cut to the heart. They ask, what shall we do? What shall we do about the situation that we are in, being guilty of this? What shall we do about our sin? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So they have to change behavior. They have to be faithfully obedient, being baptized, and then they receive the forgiveness of sins. That is when they would receive the promise that comes from God, which is life itself, spiritual life. And then he says, for, continuing the thought here, for the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself, that call that goes through the gospel. Sometimes we call it the gospel call. With many other words, he bore witness. He continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." And there were about 3,000 souls that were baptized on that day. And that was just the beginning. What an encouraging chapter, an encouraging chain of events here. And it's a wonderful place for us to start. I'm so thankful that Luke has recorded these things for us to benefit today. I am so thankful that God inspired him to do such, and that he has preserved his word through the ages for us to still benefit from today. I hope that you are encouraged. I ask that you continue in prayer. Please remember those that are on our prayer list. There are those that are in very serious condition that need our prayers desperately. We also ask that you pray that God may be with us all. Thank you. Please come back tomorrow for another reading beginning in Acts 2, verse 42.